Once again, Happy New Year. I have the honor this morning of bringing a message, a lesson, a standalone, as we call it. My brother Mike will be back next week, Lord willing, and returning to his studies in Exodus. But for this morning, I'd like you to turn, if you would, to Jeremiah 18. And the Lord brought me to this thought. You know, Daryl was absolutely right. We trust in the Lord and we have nothing to worry about. The Lord brought me to this thought through a conversation that Kathy and I were having earlier this week. We're in the book of Revelations, studying, reading along with Don Fortner's book on seeing Christ in Revelation. And we're in the letters to the churches, and the letter to the church in Philadelphia. I may be confusing that. No, Laodiceans. The Lord addresses their lukewarmness. And Kathy asked me, she goes, do you think we might be lukewarm? Do you think you and I are lukewarm? We are lukewarm. And that's a good question. We should always be looking to, are we that? The Lord gives us warning about this stuff all the time. That's what those letters are. They're warnings to you and I. They're addressed to you and I, God's people. And there's a lot of things that are said differently, and I don't want to get into that right at the moment. But this very warning is a question we should be asking ourselves. Are we lukewarm? Well, there's a lot of questions in the Bible. For instance, when the Lord speaks of vessels of honor and vessels of wrath, I think of that question, am I a vessel of honor? This morning, I want to look at this subject, God's elect, vessels of honor. And we see here in Jeremiah 18, verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Note that it is God who sends us to the potter's house. I had no idea the day the Lord brought me here that that's what I was here for, but God is the one who set those things in motion. God is the one who guided me even when I didn't know it. God guides his people. He sends his people where he wants them. God sends his people to the potter's house, the house of the Lord, God's house, where God's people meet. It is God who causes thee, causes you, causes each one of us to hear his words. I will cause thee to hear my words, he says. Then I went down, verse 3, to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work of the wheels on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Our Lord and Savior declares his authority as the sovereign ruler and creator over all things right here in these verses. He causes us to hear his words, as he says in Scripture. He also declares, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. When he asks Simon Peter, who do you say that I am? He says, thou art the Son of the living God. He says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this, but my Father who art in heaven. It is God who causes his word to be set in our hearts. It is our sovereign ruler, creator of all things. He has the right to make what he wants and when he wants and how he wants it, and who are we to question his desires. He is the potter. He does what he will, and his will shall be done. Now, if you would turn over to Romans chapter 9. My subject this morning for this morning's lesson is vessels of honor. How do I know if I'm a vessel of honor? Or am I a vessel of dishonor? We see here in Romans chapter 9, verse 13, which is contrary to the preaching in most pulpits today, God does not love everybody. As it is written in verse 13, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why dost thou yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest unto God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Hold your place here in Romans. We'll come right back to it in a moment. And turn over to Ephesians 1, if you would, please. The God of all creation has the right to do as he wishes. His will is right, and he has chosen a people to redeem unto himself. These people are those that are vessels of honor. A people that are set apart, sanctified from the world of the dead. We who were also dead in trespasses and sin, we who walked with the goats, we who are the sheep, but didn't know it till the day of his power, through the preaching of his gospel, we who were quickened, made alive, we who were given the gift of faith. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all deserve his wrath, yet he has chosen a people in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Where did I go there? Oh. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Is there anything here that we have done? Is there anything there that points to anything we have done? No. It all points to what God has done. And it's all been done in the Lord Jesus Christ. The God of Scripture shows mercy for Christ's sake. In Romans chapter 9, if you go back there, if you would, please. Verse 22, it says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Our Lord has patience. To him, a day is only a thousand years, maybe even more, who knows, but that's what he says. He has long suffering for his people. Whatever it takes, whatever mile must have to be gone, he went the mile of the cross. He did whatever it took. He sacrificed himself for his people. He was the sacrifice, the lamb without spot, the perfect sacrifice. Verse 23, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Now skip down to verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Pay close attention, folks. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling block. Verse 33, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block, and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Brethren, my heart's desire, verse 1 of chapter 10, and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Our subject is, am I a vessel of honor? Do you believe God's word? Or are you still trying to establish a righteousness of your own? Do you rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you still trying to work out your own salvation? If we look into a mirror, we will see our sin that is ever before us. God will cause his sheep to hear his word. His word tells us to look to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are vessels of honor, it is only honorable because of what he has done for his people. It is only honorable because Christ is the one that dwells in his people. Our righteousness is in him and him alone. If we try to add anything, we defile his perfect work. We must look to Christ, our righteousness. And that's exactly how God sees us. And because he sees the perfect substitutionary sacrificial death of his Son, he sees his people as vessels of honor. He sees no sin in his blood-bought children. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. You see, the question we must ask ourselves is, do we believe God's word? Are you with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2? Look at verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. This is not just talking about purging yourself from dishonorable works, as we see in verse 19, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, but purge yourself, remove yourself, do not associate in worship with those who dishonor God. Do not worship by asserting those who dishonor God by asserting their so-called decision, their so-called free will. You won't find me in a church, unless I'm just there to find out what it's all about, sitting there pretending to worship with people who believe that it is their free will that brought them to God. Why? Because God has shown me that it was not my free will. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. In Ephesians 1, we didn't see anything that we had done. Yet those who stand and say, it's up to you, come forth and receive the Lord. Come forth and we will pray with you. Make a decision for God. They're preaching a lie. And if we go and associate with them, we are dishonoring God. Purge ourselves from that. I know somebody who does do that. I know somebody who does declare they are a child of God. And they say that they believe the same as I do, yet they go and they worship in other churches. I don't know why. They've actually told me they went to a one of those Holy Roller churches. I can't remember what the religious was now. Pentecostal, that's it, yes. And I asked them, I said, well, why? Why would you go and worship with somebody who worships a false god? What good, what purpose would you do that for? And I got handed a really strange and weird answer. Well, maybe they'll see me in the way I do it and change their ways. I'm like, but wait a minute, you're going to their church and doing it their way. How are you doing it your way? And there's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, in truth and in spirit. You must worship in truth and in spirit, the word says. In the book of Jude, if you want to turn over there and read with me just a moment. This is God speaking to his people, folks. This is God speaking to you and I. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you would turn over to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 13. Am I a vessel of honor? Do I just sing that song, my trust, my hope? Or is that really what's in my heart? Am I just lukewarm? Here was my answer to Kathy. When you look to the body, when you look in the mirror, you're going to see failure. Stop looking into the mirror. The Lord will lead you to look to Him. Christ is the only thing we can look to. Even the best works that we have. Daryl, you do great work. I agree with Pastor Gene. I cannot express into words the thankfulness for what you do here and keeping the place spiffy and looking nice. But those are just works. Christ is our righteousness. You have to look to Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. What did I do here? Chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. Okay, got it. Sorry. I wrote down the wrong numbers in my notes. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God, for we also are weak in him. Do you catch that? Do you realize that God lowered himself, humbled himself? He became weak. He became a servant. Should we expect ourselves to be anything more? We read about the powerful faith that Abraham had. The powerful faith that Paul has. Yet Paul himself says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Can we expect anything better looking at ourselves? No. Yet he liveth by the power of God, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Examine yourselves. This is the Lord talking to you, talking to me, talking to every one of his people. Examine yourself, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Am I an vessel of honor? If Christ dwells in me, absolutely. I can be nothing else. I believe God's word. God has given me the ability to believe his word. Do you believe God's word? Then hear this word from John 3:14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned." Vessels of honor. "But he that believeth not is condemned already, fitted for destruction. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." How do I know if I'm a vessel of honor? I believe God. That's all you got to see. Everything else will fall into place. All the good works that we do to spiffy this place up, all the good works that we do to preach the Word of God, that's all going to fall into place. What's important is that we believe God. We believe the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, that he went to the cross and paid for our sins, that it is he who called us out of that darkness. Otherwise, we would still be there. Right. Do you believe God's word? Are you a vessel of honor? If so, then praise the Lord. Amen. Pastor.